are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my
Matthew chapter 13. If you remember, we read about 3 weeks ago the parable of the sower. And I said to you, we would just read it now, but we'll preach on it a little bit later. Because we wanted to deal with verses 10 through 17, which talked about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so one of the parables the Lord gives, which in gives teaching concerning what's going to happen during the kingdom of heaven, is this parable of the sower. And I'm going to start at verse 3, where the Lord speaks many things unto them in parables, saying, so in Matthew 13, verse 3, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Unless you have a King James, a corrupt new version of the Bible, not a King James. I hope you all have that. But that last verse would say, who hath ears, let him hear. Now, wait a minute. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. I think those are important words. Now, over to verse 18, because here now the Lord gives his explanation of the parable. Verse 18, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he become unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let us pray. Father, help us to understand these things. Oh, how wonderful it is that we have the teacher of thy word, the Holy Spirit, as our teacher. And guide us as we study these things and go over them. Help us to learn much. And help us to be impressed with how wonderful the Word of God is. How powerful it is. And what it can do in the lives of those who believe it. Guide our thoughts now in Jesus' name. Amen. The interpretation of the parable is given in those last verses that we just read there. And there are four types of ground that the Word of God falls on during this time of the kingdom of heaven, during which the church age takes place as well. So we're going to see that just as during the kingdom of heaven, these things take place, but also during the church age, which we live in right now, the response to the gospel being preached, the word of the kingdom being preached, is going to be similar. And there are four types of ground that the word of God falls on. The first one, it says, the Lord says, verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Here is the word of God and the devil. What happens? The devil comes and takes the word that's been sown. And it's been sown in various ways, either by preaching or by reading the scriptures or by a gospel tract. Any way that the word of God is dropped down on a person's heart, their heart, of course, being one of these types of ground, is what's taking place here. And sure enough, what happens? The devil comes along and he snatches away that word. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 1 describes this activity of the devil when the gospel, the word of God, is preached. I'm in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I believe when Paul says we have received this ministry, of course, he received it from the Lord. It's the New Testament ministry. It's the church age ministry. Verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That's what we do when we preach the word of God. We're being honest with people. We're giving them just what God says, not deceitfully handling it and changing it into something else, but giving it out just as God gave it. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, and I believe that refers to the devil, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Unto them is out of the New Modern Versions of the Bible, by the way. And so it just says, who is the image of God should shine. Wait a minute. Shine unto them. Shine unto them. Who blinds them? The devil does. He comes along, puts the blinders on. Folks, many of you were experiencing that until you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He was blinding your eyes, keeping you from seeing the glorious light of the gospel. And then one day, you, by faith, took a hold of those words that were being preached to you, and he could no longer keep the blinders on. But the light shone through, and by God's grace and mercy, you got saved through faith in the word that was being preached to you about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did, the gospel of Christ. And notice it's a glorious gospel of Christ. And also, it's like a light, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. I've heard many of you give testimony of your salvation and how it was prior to being saved, and then what it was like after you got saved. Like a light being turned on inside your head and inside your heart. And now you see things that you couldn't see before. Who was keeping you from seeing that? The devil. The wicked one. The seed was sown in the parable of the sower that the Lord gives us here. And he says, and the wicked one comes and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You almost have to think of a farmer in the old days just taking seed out of his bag and scattering it around so that it would grow in the ground. And of course, as he throws that seed down, some goes to the wayside. As you preach the word of God, it seems that the gospel goes to those on the wayside. And the devil comes and takes that away from them so that they don't come to an understanding. Verse 20, but he that, I'm back in 13. The next ground in verse 20, but he that receiveth seed into stony places. Okay, this is ground that doesn't have much dirt on it because there's stones there. Any of you who have ever planted a garden, done any kind of work like that, you know one thing you do. If there are stones in your garden, you pick them out. You take them out. Because you know that will keep the seed from going down and getting into that dirt and into that good ground and be able to come forth. So if there is a stony place there and the seed goes on that stony place, it says, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth or hangs around, I guess, for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. What is this? This is the word and the flesh. The flesh keeps the seed from getting down deep into the heart. And, you know, men can hear the gospel and be happy to hear it and rejoice to hear it. We're coming upon that season in which a lot of people are going to hear some things about the gospel, about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to kind of be happy to hear it. But you know what? It doesn't sink down in. And because there's no ground there for the seed to get a hold of, it is not going to bring forth the fruit that it needs to do. And what will happen for a while, they'll rejoice in it. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth, and notice the tribulation and persecution ariseth because of the word. Because of the word. We need to be preaching the word in all of it. The whole counsel of God. A lot of people like to assent to the religious things and maybe the story of Christ and so forth. But how about the word, the rest of the word of God, which talks about what happens and what Christ has accomplished and how it changes you? No, when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And the flesh says, oh, you know what? I can't stick with this gospel of Christ. I'm not one of these Christians. When they start seeing the cost that comes along with naming the name of Christ and saying, I am born again. I am a child of God. And people start persecuting and they start giving you trouble for your position and stand on the gospel of Christ. You're offended in the flesh, offended. And so you say, I'm not a Christian. That's stony ground, the word in the flesh. The third ground is given here, verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he become unfruitful. Again, if you're a gardener, one of the things you do is you weed your garden. You get the weeds and the thistles and all the things that you didn't plant there. You got to get them out of there because they are going to choke the good plant of the seed that you're putting in there. And if you are not faithful in getting rid of those weeds and thistles, your garden is not going to grow. All right. It's going to be choked off. And the word of God goes out and it falls upon areas where there are thistles and weeds growing up. And it says, he gives the description of it as, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So this third ground is the word and the world. This world system, its organization and everything about it will choke the word of God. You know what? When you get saved, you're no longer part of this world. You're looking forward to a world to come. But if you just hear the word and for a season just kind of accept it a little bit, if you are not truly understanding and believing in the gospel, the cares of this world are going to be like thistles and thorns around what you've heard, and it's just going to choke you right off, and you'll become unfruitful. So those are the three things that we see are a problem to people, as well as even Christians. What? The devil, the flesh, and the world. But here now, in reference not to the Christian living, but here to the gospel going out to those that live in this world. The devil snatches it up. The flesh of mankind says, oh, I don't want to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel is too strong for me. It's too narrow a path for me. And then the world and all of its cares and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know what? If I trust Christ, if I follow him, I may have to give up riches. I may have to stop this job that I have. Stop working at this work, which is ungodly, which doesn't please the Lord. But the deceitfulness of riches says, oh, but you know what? Isn't the benefits of that job better than the word that you've heard? And they make a decision to go with the world rather than the word. So the word and the devil, the word and the flesh, the word and the world. I'm going to do something here for the rest of the message that I've not done before, not that I can think of. I want to go to the book of Acts, and I'm going to go to certain passages, and I want you, and I'm going to invite audience participation. For those of you listening on the internet, I will repeat what folks may say to me so that you know what's going on. But we're going to go to the book of Acts, and we're going to look at several passages, and I want you to determine, is what's going on in the book of Acts the result of the devil, the flesh, the world, or even does it represent the good ground? Where the seed goes on the good ground, as the Lord says, and people believe it, they hear it and they understand it, they believe it, and it brings forth fruit. Meaning they really truly get saved. Their lives are changed by the word of God. Let's take a look. First of all, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Let's see how many of these we can get through here. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. Now you try to figure out who it's talking about and what kind of ground are we seeing here. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I'm going to stop right there. Somebody tell me, the Sadducees and the priests and the captain of the temple, what kind of ground did the word of God fall on as far as they are concerned? What would you say? Ralph?
The wayside.
The wayside is being said. And who comes and takes it away?
The devil.
Okay? These men were following the devil. They may have also been following the flesh, because their positions in leadership and authority were in jeopardy here if they follow this gospel of Christ. Now, how about this? How be it many of them which heard the word believe? What ground was that? The good ground. Good ground. That took hold. The word of God fell on them. You know, the same word fell on both these groups. What happened? Different ground. The way that the ground received it. And the ground is the men's hearts. All right, let's go over to chapter 5. Verse 20, chapter 5, verse 20. They laid their hands on the apostles, and in verse 20, go stand and speak in the temple to the people, all the words of this life. So that's like sowing the word, sowing the seed. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. Now see, they were thrown into prison, and the angel of the Lord came and got them out, and said, go down to the temple and start preaching. They did. They went down and started preaching. Then this council, verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now, when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us, I believe referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. All right, what kind of ground are those guys on? Are they on good ground? All right, most people here said no. All right, how about if I ask it again? Are those guys on good ground or bad ground? Are they on good ground?
No.
No. They're on the bad ground. Either the ground that the devil takes away the seed, or their own flesh is involved here, or the cares and deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world have taken away the seed out of their heart, and they are not on good ground. Chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 6, verse 7. Now this is after the church set up deacons in the church, so that the elders could be busy about preaching the word of God. Verse 7, it says, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. All right, what kind of ground is that?
Good ground.
They're receiving it, aren't they? And in fact, even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, to the word that was preached. Notice how verse 7, and the word of God increased. See, somebody was sowing the word of God. And it was going on good ground. And people were believing, getting saved. The word of God was increasing, multiplied. And even many of the priests were getting saved. Chapter 8, verse 8. Oh, here's Simon the sorcerer. Simon the sorcerer. Peter came to town, was preaching the gospel, and he was doing mighty works among the people in the early church. Simon saw this. See, he before this deceived the people into thinking he was some great one. And now he sees what Peter's doing and he kind of likes that. Now, what I'm going to do is go to verse 8. I'm in chapter 8, verse 8. Chapter 8, and I want to go down to verse 18. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them what?
Money.
All right, what kind of ground is this that the seed is falling on, this Simon the sorcerer? Right. It's not good. It's money's involved here. The deceitfulness of riches is in his heart. This is bad ground, okay? The deceitfulness of riches and this world and so forth chokes the word of God in this man. And the rest of the passage, of course, Peter said, you're in big trouble, Simon. The word of God and the blessing of God can't be bought with money. But he thought it could be. And there's no indication that Simon ever became a believer or anything. He did ask Peter to pray for him, but it doesn't say anything that he responded to it in any way. Verse 24, then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And then it just goes on. And they, when they had testified and preached the word, goes on. That's not good ground. Chapter 9, verse 42. Peter comes into the house and there's a certain disciple, Tabitha, Dorcas. Woman was full of good works. She passed away. She was sick and died. And Peter comes that day, and in verse 42, he raises her up from the dead and presents her alive to the saints. Notice verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. What kind of ground was that? That's good ground. Good ground. And of course, the opportunity to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ was given there, and people responded. Chapter 9 also, chapter 9 and chapter 10, verse 44. Go over to chapter 10, verse 44. 10, verse 44. Here Peter was sent to a Gentile man's house, his name Cornelius, to preach the word of God to them, that they might be saved. And in 44, it says this, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision, that be the Jews, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. What kind of ground was that, folks?
Good ground.
Wow, that was really good ground. What a time Peter had. Being called by God to go to the Gentiles, specifically to a Gentile's house for the first time. And he had to learn a lesson, of course. If you remember the sheet that was let down from heaven with good, clean, and unclean animals in it. Rise up, kill and eat, Peter. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Peter, I want you to go to the Gentiles with this message. And he went to Cornelius' house. And folks, the ground was good where the seed fell that day. And they received the word of God that day. And those who were with Peter could see very clearly that they had received the word just like they did. Because they spake in tongues. And I believe that was languages, not gibberish, like the charismatic movement of today. Let me just throw that in there as a zinger. All right, there you go. Those of you listening, I don't believe it's gibberish at all. They were speaking in languages that they hadn't gone to school to learn. And the Jews that were with Peter said, well, that's what happened to us on the day of Pentecost. So the same thing's happening to the Gentiles that has happened to the Israelites who believe. And so that's good ground, folks. That's good ground that people are receiving the word of God. Chapter 13, verse 6. Chapter 13, verse 6. Now here the Apostle Paul comes to a place. They sailed to Cyprus. When they were at Salamis, they preached the word. Verse 5, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. Verse 6, I'm in 13 verse 6. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. All right, here we got a ground of some kind, and the word's going to be sowed here. He says, Paul and Barnabas, come here. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I want to hear the word of God. Verse 8. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them. Now, who does that kind of represent with the different grounds? Would you say sorcerer? He withstood? Who would that be, folks? The devil. Withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Just kind of like what 2 Corinthians 4 verses 1 through 4 says. To blind them, lest the light of a glorious gospel should shine in unto them. Verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul. There you get the first time when Saul is called Paul. Filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the what? Thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You see, I'm seeing here that Paul had the same problem with the ground that you sow the seed on, as Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower. And we all are going to find that same response to the gospel. You're going to sow seed on ground that the devil's just waiting to pick it away. But thank God, there's also good ground that we sow the word of God on. And so, as we continue to read now, verse 11, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, that's the one who called Paul and Barnabas to hear the word of the Lord, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the what? Doctrine of the Lord. He believed. So you have two grounds here. You got the ground of the wayside ground. The devil comes and takes it away. And then you have the good ground. This deputy hearing the word. And it brings forth fruit in his life. Two types of ground right there. Chapter 13 again. Go all the way down to verse 42. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath day. Paul and Barnabas were there preaching the word. And they went into the synagogue and they were preaching the word. And the Jews, they didn't want to listen to it. They left. The Gentiles that were there said, whoa, we like this. You know what? You see two types of ground right there. Right there. As we go on to verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Now, in that verse, what kind of ground is that? Is that good ground? Yes. The answer is yes. Good ground. Verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And I'm going to read on right on through here. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. So see, Paul and Barnabas are like sowers here, sowing the word. It's falling on the Jews. It's falling on the Gentiles. Different responses here. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Okay, in those last two verses, is that good ground or bad ground? That's good ground. Amen. The word of God's going on that ground and people are responding and getting saved. Verse 50, but the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they, Paul and Barnabas, shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. Well, verse 50, the Jews stirred up, angry that the gospel is being preached. That's probably a whole combination of the three different bad grounds, you know, the devil, the flesh and the world all involved there to keep them from receiving the word that's being preached. Go over to chapter 17, verse 32. Now, Paul, a little later on in his ministry, comes to Athens and he approaches a place called Mars Hill. You know what? What they did at Mars Hill all the time? They did nothing but seek out new things. And to listen to something new that was being done. Look at verse, what do I want to read? Yeah, look at verse 21. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Kind of reminds me of Art Bell on the Sunday evening WAAB. He's dead, been dead for a while. They keep replaying all these people calling in to Art Bell. You know, you got a lot of crazy people calling in. Saying all kinds of new things. Oh, you know what? I was sucked up into a spacecraft and they checked me out and then they spit me back down here. It's not exactly like that, but, you know, it's about as foolish as some of the things they say. And that's kind of what Mars Hill was like. Oh, well, Paul and Barnabas are here. I hear these guys... They talk about certain things. We've never heard things like this before. I guess it was Paul and Silas at this point. Well, they allow Paul an opportunity to speak and go down to verse 32. And he tells them all about the Lord Jesus Christ, how he came. He died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. That's as far as they wanted to listen. For verse 32, and when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. So how about the ground that says when the persecution, tribulations arise because of the word? When you tell people you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, oh, how can you believe in that? Now, what are you going to do? You know, you have to say, I do believe in that. That's what saves my soul. That's the heart of the gospel. Some say at that point, well, you know, the world doesn't think that's very intelligent. I'm going to go to another church, okay? I'm going to go where that isn't really important. Well, I tell you what. They mocked. Others said, "We will hear thee again of this matter." Verse 33. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, all right, here's another ground. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. How about that verse? Is that good ground or bad ground? That's good ground. Amen. Some of the seed fell on good ground there that day. We also know it fell on some bad ground. Wasn't prepared, ready to receive. But these were ready to take it. Chapter 18, verse 5 through 8. Aquila and Priscilla and Paul were together in Corinth. That's where he had the occupation to make tents along with Aquila and Priscilla. And in 5 and, we want to look at verses 5 through 8. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And he departed thence, entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Oh boy, I always like that. I remember when we started our church, we started down in Bethlehem on Linden Street, right next door to Moxgoot Tavern. We were joined hard to the tavern, all right? And there we were preaching the good news, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, while they sat next door drinking themselves drunk. Kind of sort of like this a little bit. Oh, don't call a synagogue a tavern. Well, you know, same kind of sinners were there as we're over there in the tavern. And it says, verse 8, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized." All right, in that verse, is that good ground or bad ground? That's good ground. The word of God goes on good ground, and they got saved. Okay, chapter 19, verse 18. They come to a city of Ephesus, filled with a lot of magic arts, demonic worship. And down there in Acts chapter 19, verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." Is that good ground or bad ground there? That's good ground, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, by the way, their magic arts there is equal to today's horoscopes, astrology, mediums, card readers. If you use a deck of cards to try to figure out your future, you're just like these people here. You need to confess and burn it all up. If you're going to confess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "I'm saved," those things need to go. Amen. They need to go. And don't sell them at a yard sale for others to be blessed. Burn them up! By the way, all those rock and roll music you got, you know, don't put it out for the yard sale for some other unsuspecting sinner to come along and get messed up by it. Get rid of it. And destroy it. "Well, I paid a lot of money for that." So did these people. So did these people. They found it 50,000 pieces of silver. But they were more than willing to destroy it. They burned it. We got a new life in Christ. Things are different now, we sang this morning. Right? I've got a new life. It's not the same anymore. Chapter 24, verse 24. Felix. He had Paul as a prisoner. But he heard Paul speak, and he wanted Paul to come and talk to him personally. And in verse 24, and after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. All right, there's Paul. He's sowing seed. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Sounds like one of the bad ground, doesn't it? When the cares of this world and the flesh says, you know what, I'm just not ready to receive this. That's the ground that Felix was on. Chapter 26, verse 26. King Agrippa. He wants to hear the prisoner Paul. Hey, come and preach to me. In verse 26 of chapter 26, "For the king knoweth of these things." Here Paul's talking about King Agrippa. "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner." In other words, I haven't been sowing seed in the corner somewhere, you know, where no one hears. I've been sowing the seed of the word of God. I know, King Agrippa, you're hearing it. You've heard it before. Verse 27, "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets?" Now we're going to find out what kind of ground it is. "I know that thou believest." You know, this is like that ground where they receive it with joy for a season. Verse 28, probably one of the saddest verses in the Bible. "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Is that good ground or bad ground? That's bad. Oh, that's bad. Bad ground. Chapter 28, the last chapter of Acts, so you know we're getting down there. But I just want to read this in conclusion. Chapter 28, starting at verse 23. This is the end of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. The end of the book of Acts. Kind of at the very end here, look at what it says, verse 23. "And when they had appointed him a day," Paul is in prison here, or he's jailed, house arrest, "there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God." That's sowing the word. See, you can sow the word even if you're in jail. That doesn't matter. You just keep talking about the Lord. Just keep sowing the word, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. Verse 24. "And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not." There's your two grounds in one verse right there. The good ground and the bad ground. Right there you see it. Some believed and some believe not. "When they agreed not among themselves, they departed after that Paul had spoken one word." And here's the one word that he spoke. "Well spake the Holy Ghost by Isaiah the prophet unto our fathers, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them." He's quoting Isaiah. You know, we saw that in Matthew chapter 13 just last week when he said, "Blessed are your ears, blessed are your eyes." Because unlike what Isaiah said of the people, you are hearing and you are seeing. Folks, if you sit here this morning with the assurance in your heart that says, "I have heard the word of God. It has taken seed in my heart. I'm saved. I know the Lord is my personal Savior." That's good ground. That's good ground. If you're here today or listening to me, and you say, "You know what? I have heard this word before. I have had the seed sown, but my heart wasn't ready or prepared." You're like those other three grounds that the word takes no effect on. You need to respond to the word and let it save your soul and be like good ground that will bring forth fruit. And that fruit might be in many different ways, but it'll bring forth fruit. Verse 28 says, "Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it." And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Maybe you have great reasoning among yourself. By the way, if you don't have a King James Bible, verse 29 is gone. It's not even in your Bible. And yet I'm using what I believe to be the preserved word of God to try to convict you of your need to respond. And yet you might have a modern version in front of you right now that doesn't even have that word, that verse that I'm trying to use to convict you. Look at what verse 29 says. "And when he had said these words," see, the word was sown. "When he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves." And I would like to say, if you sit there, here, or on the internet listening, and you have some reasoning in your mind right now, respond to the gospel and let it save your lost soul. Respond to what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. He died for your sins. He was buried for you. He rose up from the grave. And now the word is being sown in your heart. Receive it. Believe it. And it will bring forth fruit abundantly. Do it. You got reasoning? That's okay. It's okay to have it. But you know what? You got to come to a conclusion. You got to come to a decision. What are you going to do with the word sown in your heart? What are you going to do with the gospel? Believe it and be saved. That's what you need to do. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the sower who one day came to our life and sowed the word that we might hear it. Might have been a missionary. Might have been a pastor. Might have been an evangelist. Or maybe it was just a coworker, or a friend, or a relative who gave us a gospel tract, or invited us to church. Thank you for that. For the seed did go down in, grabbed a hold, and it has saved our soul. Thank you for doing that. And Father, for those who are not responding the right way, the devil may be snatching it out of their heart right now. Or their flesh may be saying, I'm not sure I want to go along with this. Or the world and the cares and the riches of this world are choking the word right now. May they say, I want Christ. I want his salvation. And may they be saved by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.